Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 46. Chapter 24 is entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Atmanam sarvabhuteshu Bhagavantam avastitam apashyat sarvabhutani Bhagavatyapi chatmani Atmanam, the super soul. Sarvabhuteshu, in all living beings. Bhagavantam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avastitam, situated. Apashyat, he saw. Sarvabhutani, all living beings. Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Api, moreover. Cha, and. Atmani, on the super soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, he began to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seated in everyone's heart, and that everyone is existing on him, because he is the super soul of everyone. Please repeat. He began to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seated in everyone's heart, and that everyone is existing on him, because he is the super soul of everyone. Purport. That everyone is existing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not mean that everyone is also Godhead. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Everything is resting on him, the Supreme Lord, but that does not mean that the Supreme Lord is also everywhere. This mysterious position has to be understood by highly advanced devotees. There are three kinds of devotees: the neophyte devotee, the intermediate devotee, and the advanced devotee. The neophyte devotee does not understand the techniques of devotional science, but simply offers devotional service to the deity in the temple. The intermediate devotee understands who is God, who is a devotee, who is a non-devotee, and who is innocent, and he deals with such persons differently. But a person who sees that the Lord is sitting as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and that everything is depending or existing on the transcendental energy of the Supreme Lord, is in the highest devotional position. Om Jnanatim Anandasya Gina Gana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yat Kripam Tamaham Vande Sri Guru Dina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyava Pastatyadeshitarine Vanchakalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Garadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the 18th chapter, text 61 of Bhagavad Gita, that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart is also stated. Ishvaram Sarvabhutanam Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. Interestingly, The title of chapter 18 in Bhagavad Gita is The Perfection of Renunciation. And here the title of this chapter is the renunciation of Kardama Muni. So there seems to be connection to this vision of seeing the super soul in everyone's heart and renunciation. So this feature of the Supreme Lord is actually a very nice exhibition of His love. The super soul accompanies the living entity, even though the living entity comes to this material world to forget Krishna. He wants to enjoy separate from Krishna. So actually he's rejecting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's rejecting the authority of Krishna, but still the super soul stays with him, and the living entity goes into all kinds of different situations within the material world. Many different types of bodies, the bodies of even abominable species of life, such as hogs and dogs and insects, like that. And as we see in Vrindavan or some other places in India, the hogs, they're lying in the sewage and just relishing eating stool and stuff like that. And Super Soul is staying right there with all the living entities. But Super Soul is actually aloof. He's not affected by the material energy at all. But the function of the Super Soul, actually has two functions. One is the sanctioner, as we just quoted this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani. Brahmayan means to wander here and there. So Krishna, as the Super Soul, he's directing the wanderings of all the living entities, and he's also the witness. So the Super Soul, staying with the living entity through many different species of life, he knows past, present, and future. So I believe it was in the previous verse. Yes, everyone gets what they deserve. It was mentioned. So this is done through the agency of Super Soul, Super Soul is the all-knowing, is the all-knower. So he remembers all the activities of the living entity through many different species of life, the good and bad activities that he's performed, and oftentimes the living entity, we ourselves know that we make a decision in life, and that affects our happiness or distress. So that decision is actually being directed by Super Soul based on our desires and our deserts, what we deserve due to our previous activities. So the Super Soul then is directing not only the wanderings of the human beings, but of all living entities. And those who are realized devotees, or those who realize the Super Soul, then they can actually be freed from fear. We have the example of Haridas Thakur. He was living in one cave, and there was one huge snake. But he wasn't at all disturbed by that, because he knew that the snake, its activities are being sanctioned by the Lord. And he had full faith in the Lord's protection. Then a group of people, they were expressing their concern about this situation. Oh, you're living in this cave with this very poisonous snake. And it's actually, they were more concerned about themselves, that they were afraid to go there and hear from Haridas Thakur in that situation. So Haridas Thakur said, okay, then I will change my residence. At that point, the snake left. So we can see like that the Supreme Lord is directing. And the last time I gave class, I was mentioning a few stories from Radhanath Swami's autobiography. And there was another situation where he was often afflicted by dysentery. This was back in the 70s, you know, and he was just traveling with no money, so he would eat whatever was provided. And so he was often afflicted with dysentery. So at one point he was staying at Varshan with one Babaji there. Not all the Babajis in Vrindavan are. Sometimes we hear this idea that The Babaji's in Vrindavan are sahajas, this, that, but they're not all like that. So this was a genuine sadhu, and he was getting his association. So anyway, he was afflicted by dysentery, and so he had to go in the bushes. And as he was relieving himself, one yellowish-green snake came out and crawled and just parked on his feet. And he could see by the triangle head. They say that the snakes with a triangular head, they're poisonous, and those with round head, they're non-poisonous. So he could see that it was a poisonous snake. So he was in it. What could he do, you know? So he just depended on Krishna and understanding that it's all in God's control. So like that. So there are different... he didn't get bit. At some point, the snake just left. So this seeing, the ability to see the Super Soul in everyone, this is very actually very important in our execution of devotional service. Just like Lord Chaitanya says, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So this is one of the qualifications to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, is to offer all respects to others and to not desire respect for oneself. So in the that we can offer respects to others, it's very helpful to understand that the Super Soul is present in the hearts of all living entities. Just like we see a mosquito, the natural reaction is to whack it, you know, but if we take a second thought and think, oh, this Super Soul is also present, you know, like that. So in this way, it's very advantageous for developing this mood of Amanina Manadena by seeing the Super Soul present in everyone's heart. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, in the first three sentences, he is alluding to a verse in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4. What is it? Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. This cosmic creation is pervaded by me in my unmanifest form. And all living beings are in me, but I am not in them, he says. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the words avyakta murtina indicate that the Lord is present, but because we can't perceive him, then he's unmanifest. Although he's there, but because we can't perceive him, then it's considered that he's unmanifest. Srila Prabhupada explains or quotes in the purport the verse from Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Vridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunaswarupam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So not only does the pure devotee perceive the Super Soul, but when one actually becomes more advanced, he can actually perceive Shama Sundar within his own heart and in the hearts of other living beings. So Prabhupada also gives the example that this verse is referring not so much to Super Soul, but actually to the energies of the Lord. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, everything consists of the Lord's energy, either his inferior energy or his material energy. So in the spiritual world, there is no Super Soul. This is the function of... He's an expansion of the second Chaturvyuha. The Purusha avatars expand from the second Chaturvyuha as Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Shirodakshayi Vishnu, and the Super Soul is Shirodakshayi Vishnu. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example, just like a king. The king has different government agencies, different government departments, and everything is functioning as the energy of the king. But although the king is not personally present in all the departments, it's really by his energy. So he's simultaneously present and not present. He's not personally present in all the, in every department, but because it's his energy, then it's considered that he's present. So this may seem like a contradiction. Here we just read that Krishna's present in all living entities. But Krishna says in the in this verse 9:4, all living beings are in me, but I am not in them. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says this is an inconceivable feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he calls it mysterious in this purport. This mysterious position has to be understood by highly advanced devotees. And then he goes on to explain that there are three different types of devotees. These are also described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, beginning with text 45. So in text 44, King Nimi is asking the question that to the nine Yogendras, that please explain the different classes of devotees. And these are, the answer is given by the sage Havir. In three verses, texts 45, 46, and 47, he gives a basic synopsis of these three types of devotees, beginning with the Uttama Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Kanishta Adhikari. And then after giving description, he gives six more verses describing the Uttama Adhikari. So this is the, he felt that the exalted position of the Uttama Adhikari deserved more attention. So the first point is, let's take it from the bottom and go towards from the third class and go towards the higher class devotees. So the third class devotee, he sees the Lord in the temple. He sees the deity as the Lord. He comes to the temple and he worships the deity. But he doesn't really know how to deal with the devotees. He doesn't make a distinction that there are three types of devotees, the first, second, and third class. Therefore, there is a tendency to neglect or maybe even criticize or offend the higher class devotees. But if he seriously worships the deity, then he can elevate himself to the second class platform. So one thing that came to my mind in this regard is that in the age of Kali, yajanti hi sumedasa, yagyai sankirtana prayaya, yajanti hi sumedasa, we worship the Lord by sankirtan. So when we're in the temple and performing sankirtan, then we should give our full attention to sankirtan, to the chanting of the holy name. And this is actually worshiping Krishna. And Lord Shiva says that higher than worship of myself is worship, he uses the word tadiyanam, which means it's paraphernalia. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this also includes his devotee. So Krishna is more pleased, actually, when the devotee is worshipped, or the paraphernalia of the Lord is worshipped, than when he himself is worshipped. One example is given of King Prataparudra. At one point he was given a cloth that belonged to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he actually began to worship that cloth. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about that, he was very pleased. So then this kind of brings up one of my pet peeves, which is that during Guru Puja there's so many conversations going on, especially in that little corner where the senior devotees hang out. So actually Krishna is very pleased when we worship Srila Prabhupada. So if we can do that with full attention, this is very advantageous to our own spiritual advancement. And it's such a nice meditation, this Guru Puja prayer. I don't have time to go through it because class is so short these days, but it's such a nice meditation. When we sing these prayers daily, we shouldn't do it mechanically, but we should actually understand the meaning of all the prayers and meditate on them. It's not, this process of devotional service is not mechanical. Srila Prabhupada coined the term Krishna consciousness. So the point is consciousness. We need to be conscious of what we're singing. In this way, then we're actually, it's a higher quality of sadhana bhakti than just to state the words. So then the second class of devotees, they basically see four different aspects. They see the Supreme Lord and they worship the Lord. They see the devotees and they make friends with the devotees. And then amongst the non-devotees, there are two types. There are those who are ignorant but innocent. And for that class, they have compassion and they try to elevate them. They try to share Krishna consciousness with them. And then there's the demoniac or the envious. And these are the type of people that they don't like Krishna. When they run into devotees, sometimes when we go out on Harinam, it's interesting because we see the reactions of people in different ways. Some people are very happy when they see the Harinam, and they even start dancing on the street. But then there are some when they see that, when they hear the Harinam coming, they go like this, you know, and they can't handle it. They can't. So they're the envious. And many times devotees are attacked by non-devotees or, I remember in America there was an attack on one preaching center in, I think, Memphis. They threw a firebomb and like that. Nashville. Oh, Knoxville. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, in this way there's the envious. So the Madhyamadhikari, he avoids these people because this is actually dangerous for his own devotional creeper, and it also fuels the, it gives fuel to the to the envious, and it kind of encourages them to make more offenses. I remember once I was distributing books in the Miami airport, and so I approached one guy, and he immediately became angry, and he just starts blasting the devotees, and due to my false ego, I kind of got into it with him a little bit. You know, we were like jostling back and forth, and finally I just called him an ass, you know. And he got really angry, and he went and he brought a cop over and said, "This guy called me an ass, you know." I said, "An ass is just another word for a donkey, a foolish, you know, it means he's a fool." And the cop didn't do anything, you know. And the guy was so angry, he says, "Okay, let's go outside. Come on, let's go outside right now." You know, he wanted to fight with me. Of course, that, you know, if that would have happened, then probably I would have gotten the beat out of me. But... but aside from that, it would have jeopardized our position in the airport, so nothing, couldn't do anything about that. I just had to, like, be humble. So the Uttama Adhikari, he sees Krishna everywhere. He sees the Super Soul, as is mentioned in this verse. Kardama Muni is coming to the platform of Uttama Adhikari, seeing the Super Soul in everyone. He sees everyone in relation, everyone and everything in relation to the Supreme Lord. However, when the Uttama Adhikari preaches, then sometimes he makes these distinctions mentioned for the Madhyam Adhikari. However, the Uttama Adhikari, he also has the potency to change the hearts of even the envious. Dira Dira Janapriya, the six Goswamis, they were dear to the ruffians and to the gentle souls alike. And even we see in Srila Prabhupada, that he had this ability. Lots of times people, like maybe parents of devotees, they would be somewhat inimical and against the movement because they thought their children had joined some cult or something. But whenever they came to speak to Srila Prabhupada directly, then he was able to pacify them and even change their minds to the extent that they became very favorable. So this is there. And I was reading in one purport how By the way, these three verses in the 11th canto, chapter 2, text 45, 46, and 47, they have quite extensive purports if you want to delve more into the qualities and the qualities of these different three classes of devotees is described in great detail there. And although these purports may not have been, they were after Srila Prabhupada, so they may not have the full potency of the Mahabhagavat. They are based on the previous acharyas, so quite authorized. So even though the Uttama Adhikari he is seeing with equal vision like this, still that doesn't mean that there's not some sweet exchange between two Uttama Adhikaris. I remember also in this Radhana Swami's autobiography. So he was living in Vrindavan, and he had met many devotees there. He even stayed in the ashram of Ban Maharaj for, a few months, I think. But he had also met Krishnadas Babaji, who was a very dear friend of Srila Prabhupada. So at one point, Prabhupada, he had come to Vrindavan with a number of disciples. This was his first return to India with the disciples. He came at one point because of his illness, but he didn't bring many disciples with him, maybe I think just one or two servants. But then at one point he came with a number of devotees, and he was very well received by all the Vrajvasis. They considered him, Srila Prabhupada, their ambassador to Vrindavan, and they just glorified him so much and were so appreciative of Srila Prabhupada. So he was staying at Radha Damodar, and then so Radhanath, he had met Shamasundar, and Shamasundar told him that Prabhupada is here. They had met previously, they knew each other already. So later on that day, Radhanath, he met Krishnadas Babaji, and he told him that Srila Prabhupada is here. And oh, he was so happy to hear that. So when he came to see Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was speaking to a room full of people at Radha Damodar. And immediately when Krishnadas Babaji came, Srila Prabhupada made room on the cushion next to him, and they sat next to each other, and for a half an hour they were just speaking with each other, laughing, and it was such a sweet exchange. And Radhanath Maharaj recalls that this was one thing that actually influenced him to accept Srila Prabhupada as his guru, seeing this sweet, loving exchange between him and Krishnadas Babaji. So, of course, there were many other factors also, but this was one of them. So then, we have to then try to develop this vision of seeing Krishna present as the super soul in everyone's heart, and then take seriously to this process of Krishna consciousness and develop this vision more and more. Come to the platform of the Majjhim if we're not there. I know I'm not, so hopefully someday we can develop more, develop our Krishna consciousness where we can advance to the Majjhim platform and ultimately the Uttam Adhikari platform, the pure devotional service. So I was mentioning that there were six verses after Javier described the three classes of devotees. He gave more information on who is the Uttam Adhikari. In the fifth verse of Upadeshamrita, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada states that one should take shelter of a spiritual master who is an Uttam Adhikari. So here are some more qualities of the Uttam Adhikari. He's unaffected by material miseries. He's free from the desire for material enjoyment. He's free from pride, even though he may possess many material qualifications. The Uttama Adhikari is fully satisfied due to giving up a sense of proprietorship, a concern for his own desire, giving up indifference to the discomforts of others. The Uttama Adhikari takes constant shelter of the Lord through remembrance, and he has captured the Supreme Lord in his heart due to chanting his holy name with love. So these are some more qualifications of the Uttama Adhikari, and anyone who takes initiation within ISKCON, they have the shelter of Srila Prabhupada as their Shishya Guru, and therefore they have taken shelter of a spiritual master who is an Uttam Adhikari. So I'll stop here. As it's Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.